Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. And Doug, look, we're in different studios today because we're at the all-new Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills, because it used to be O'Leary's, but sure, Eddie McVay has taken it over, and now it's Maggie O'Brien's.
That was done with a bit of a sing-songy delivery.
Oh, it's let's be critical of my delivery.
It's a much bigger venue
for
us.
He built this, I hear, for you, Doug, because he couldn't get you to go to the other one, so he built one right near your home.
No, I went to the other one, too.
Yeah, but he wants to have here as a regular,
right?
Maybe wearing a
Have you been to the other one yet?
Not recently.
You haven't. I have. And I've been to this one many times.
So you're a better person?
I support the sponsor better.
I've been to both of them.
That's gangster the way you said that.
Clip that off. Plowhawk, are you there? Plowhawk's back in Kirkwood.
What up, boys?
At least 4 minutes away from here.
We miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys, too. It's an empty studio, so it's kind of...
Where's Iggy?
I mean, Iggy's in, you know, the secondary cuck studio, you know, where Seymour usually sits. But for me, right now, I'm in the studio by myself. So it's a little lonely, but we miss you guys.
I think Iggy, when we're not there, I could be wrong, I just get the sense he might take an extra smoke break or two.
Oh, no, we've got show notes and things of that ilk to take
care
of.
What would be in show notes?
I guess maybe he's still putting together the drops.
No, about
he's
a little...
He's got that done. He gets that thing done. Anytime after the show, like in between this show
and branding
with the podcast, Iggy's back in his office and he's working on the drops. Seamaster yesterday, I was in a writer's block mode. I'm not talking about Gould, Fredrickson, and Hockman.
I miss Ben Fred.
And the great, great Chris Gardner. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I couldn't deliver my intros and outros for the Dave Peacock interview, which will air on – actually, it'll drop on Monday.
Don't say drop.
And that's what you do in the podcast.
Right, you drop.
I've been doing it weeks now, so I'm an expert.
Yep. So I said to the Seamaster, I said, I just need a few minutes. And I think the Seamaster would vouch for, usually I fancy myself as being able to do these things in one take and then just kind of going about my day. But yesterday, and so the Seamaster said, no problem. I'll get done cuts of the week right now. So these guys are all, Doug, what they are is always working. They're always, this show isn't something where you just sit down and start talking.
Yeah, sure feels like it.
Tim, I have a question. I don't know if we can workshop this, just a couple of podcast artists talking shop and talking about their craft.
Right.
Because I don't do a show open. Here's what I do. We have the guest either in studio or on the phone, and I go blah, 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 support the sponsors. Ryan Kelly, the James Carlin Insurance Agency, we're very blessed to have them. Always support the sponsors. They happen to be two great people as well. And then I say something self-deprecating about journalism.
Right.
And then I bring in the guest.
Right.
And then we talk for a while. And if we don't drop a couple of calls along the way,
right,
then I wrap her up at the end. But you do, like, specific goals.
Mike's on. He's ready.
This is your intro?
Yes, I'm stealing.
This might actually not be bad. I might use this. That way I don't have to.
Doesn't that seem like a parody of MacGyver or something? Mm-hmm. That's hard to believe. And the intro up until the end.
Three
1978,
weeks ago.
They put that by the wayside.
Seamaster also has this, along with the great Dan Packer, who is here at Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills. The first person to order breakfast before 10 a.m. at the new Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills. And, Doug, guess our secret show-related phrase wins.
What do they win?
4 tickets to Missouri versus Florida tomorrow.
Whoa.
In Columbia. That's a 12 o'clock CBS tilt. Clark Kellogg will be on the call.
Well, that's a nice prize. 4 tickets.
I have been given the secret phrase. Have you been given?
No, Doug wasn't trusted, and I already figured I'd brand yourself before you wreck yourself. Is
oh,
that
yeah.
it?
Ice Cube.
Missouri.
A secret phrase they have to utter.
Yep.
How many guesses do they get?
Seamaster says you get one guess.
One guess.
But you have to order the breakfast.
You got to order the breakfast and pay for the breakfast, and then you get your
No,
guess.
You're going to pay for it. What are you mocking that for? We're saying if you're going to come in here, join us for breakfast, say hi to Eddie when he comes in.
And he loves
and
America.
And then you'll have a shot at winning these tickets by revealing the secret phrase.
It's a valuable prize. It's a valuable prize.
I don't know why you have to mock everything
by
that we do.
Play by the rules. We want them to play by the rules.
That's right.
Come in. Order your breakfast, pay for your breakfast, then you get your big shot.
That's right.
Right. And you know what people in the podcast industry, like Tim and I, two mm-hmm. veterans of the podcast, and we
That's
call
right.
it listener enhancement.
Do you?
See, we're enhancing the chance that a listener will come in and have breakfast.
Okay. No, I just wanted to say hi. That's all.
That's it? Okay.
Just check in.
Good. See ya.
All right. So it's a short little phrase, show related, I understand.
Yeah, okay. But he wouldn't trust you with it because
no, you don't
loose
have it
lips.
Either.
You got loose lips.
You don't
loose
have it either.
Ships, Tupac. Hey, Tim, is
got
the
right
phrase,
here.
Life ain't nothing but bitches and money. That's from Sean Mahoney's Deadeye. I also actually think it's from Compton's Most Wanted from 1991's film Boys in the Hood. Am I right on that, Doug?
I don't have any idea.
Yo, Ray King, just got that T-Bell and the sausage quesadilla is flame, but not quite as good as Doug's spicy sausage link tucking in his pant. Mae Young's newborn hand has started off
okay.
his or her morning.
I enjoy when yeah. Doug pretends like he's really trying to analyze what you just read.
Right.
Well, now you get to see
That's
it this morning.
You don't get
because you get
you
to see the text inbox.
I'm not looking. You don't get to guess on the text line. You have to come in and order your breakfast.
Right.
And pay for these, you also you have to pay for the
Of course
breakfast.
You yeah, do.
You're not going to scram.
No, you can't say, I'll have two sunny side up. And then utter some phrase. You're going to win four tickets.
On your captain's log, Eddie McVay will join us live for picks of the week. Doug, not only do you have Alabama and Georgia, but four playoff games. A lot of people kind of like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen in that Titans-Chiefs game. And oh, the Jags and Bills are going to get together?
Yeah.
So we'll break that down.
Don't sleep on the Bills.
Nobody circles the way.
I don't know that the Bills have much of a shot.
Don't sleep on the Bills.
Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, Iggy's Drops of the Week, and then something that's kind of getting some attention now. Mr. Nipples has swept all three Hot Shots Email of the Day competitions in 2018, and there's a little bit of buzz wondering if he can be the first emailer since the 1972 Dolphins to go undefeated in an entire year.
Yeah,
Mercury Morris.
Happen. Do we know? Have we met Mr. Nipples before? Has he been
Plowhawk, have you met Mr. Nipples?
Yeah, straight up baller, dude.
You're great.
Nips, he was out at the links, you know, supporting the troops there with Jay Jr. versus Tim in that epic battle. And so I got to meet Nipsey and Tribsy. And then Nipples came to a Hot Shots event. I can't remember what one it was, but he was very active. Remember him and Cucky collabed on an email that ended up winning.
They collabed.
Very special moment in TMA history. So Nipples is a great dude and a force that I called way back in 2017. That he'd be a force in 2018.
I know you're really attracted to one of their significant others, and I always get confused. Which one is it?
You know, I can't even tell. I think they both have solid, you know, little side dishes there. And
Side dishes?
I think
that's an accusation.
One of them tried to send, I think, a foot pick to Jay to distract them, to help Tim, and it worked reverse, and it helped Jay because he got that foot motivation. That was so coveted.
Tiger used that at 08 Torrey Pines and came back to beat Rocco. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure do. That's what made me think of it.
Tribbers and Mr. Nipples know each other. They're not related, even though they both have the same
side piece.
Right. And Mr. Nipples is winning all of the Email of the Day competitions sponsored by Hot Shots here in 2018. And no one has ever done that. Could happen this year.
No one's ever even swept a week, have they?
Wow, I wonder.
We'll have to take
a look at our – I'm sure Swope has that information.
He can take the whole family to the Hot Shots with all these coupons he's winning. Take every side piece he's got.
You know what makes me proud, Tim, is that like this country, this great country of ours, our texters are a diverse lot.
Yeah, you have some like 25-year-old white guys, and you have like some 27-year-old white guys.
Yeah.
Very different.
A range here about 3 years.
And the bikini model Brittany is like a...
That's the exception.
Right.
28-year-old white guy.
Yeah, leggy, blonde.
Now, some people think it's an older gentleman who's a real estate agent, but I don't think that's been proven.
Yeah, I think that's probably who it is.
You know what? Outside of the Hot Shots email of the day, we have the Hot Shots AFC-NFC Championship Party, Doug. That's coming up here in a couple weeks, Jack.
Is it?
590 The Fan's AFC-NFC Championship Party is Sunday, January 21st at Hot Shots in Fenton. Hang with 590 personalities and staffers as the party starts at 1:30, 30 minutes before kickoff of the AFC Championship game, and goes until halftime of the NFC title game.
NFC.
Right. Here are prizes that will be up for grabs. Snatch grabs, flat-screen TVs, Game of Thrones live tickets. What the hell's that? Anybody know?
Live Seamaster tickets. Does. I would see tickets to a live event.
I can go watch Khaleesi.
It's like a musical, like an orchestral performance of the music. Hey, I'm in. Packer already hooked me up with some tickets. I'm going.
Doug, you ought to go to that
Where
musical.
Where is it? Is it the Fox?
I believe it's a Scott Trade Center.
What is it? Live?
It's not till this fall. That's how coveted these tickets are. As they were, you had to start purchasing them like a year in advance.
Really?
Is the real Khaleesi fan?
But for the purposes of teasing, yes.
Wow, Doug.
We're going to mislead the people.
Wait, right, so it's a play called Live?
No, my understanding is it's like an orchestral performance of the music, and I think they'll probably have like the video accompaniment as well.
So it'll be like, and if you want to know who we are gentlemen from Japan on all the screens.
That's not what they said.
Same orchestra that did the Francesa drop.
That won't be.
Doug, also a Gold's Gym year membership.
That's nice.
But as we saw yesterday with our listeners texting in pictures of themselves.
They don't really need it.
Others,
they don't really need
and
it.
And they also are most of the time out on the seven seas on their yachts.
Yeah.
Two-night stay at Hollywood Casino. Blues tickets included with your AFC-NFC ticket. A buffet with pizza, nachos, toasted ravioli. Unlimited Bud Family draft pints, one free raffle ticket. The party tickets are only $30 and are available at 590thefan.com or Eventbrite. Just search AFC NFC.
Those are great prizes.
There it is.
Where did we get those prizes?
Fabulous prizes is what I would describe them as.
Flat screen TVs, Doug, that's living large.
It really is.
But also hot. If it wasn't for myself, Tribbers, and Nipples having attractive significant others, we'd probably all be gay and having the most popular MMMs on the daily. It's from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack. Huh. So these guys must be – this in Illinois Peninsula must be like South Beach based on the tail that's coming out of there.
Apparently. But if they didn't have attractive others, they'd be gay? Is that's what he's saying?
That's what Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack says.
Okay.
That's hot. That's nice to have a plan B.
It isn't hot. It isn't a decent plan B.
Doug, as we sit here at Maggie O'Brien's and we invite our listeners to come by, especially for the TMA Listener Challenge with these Missouri-Florida tickets on the line, order breakfast and guess our secret show-related phrase, and you get the four tickets. We are able to watch a replay of what was a Jim Dandy last night at the Scott Trade Center. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas, called Vegas, Golden Knights, were in St. Louis for the first time. One of the best teams in the NHL, and the Blues, in what I saw Cam Jansen on the Twitter tweets called one of their best performances of the year, defeated Vegas by a score of 2-1.
And there's some speculation that Vegas stayed too close to Lumiere Place and got caught up in the nightlife.
There's a little bit of buzz about it.
And weren't quite ready to play here.
A little bit of buzz about
it. And Hutton was outstanding again, which is he made his third straight start. Jake Allen, Mike Yosit is still their goalie, but they're going to ride the hot hand at some point. Allen gets back in there, but Hutton's been outstanding.
I would hope they ride the hot hand. It's not just hot. Right now he's the best goalie in the league. He's got the lowest goals against, the best save percentage. I don't know how you cannot put him in there until he slows down a little bit. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. I don't know that he's ever had a stretch like this at any other time in his career.
Well, that's why I say hot. It's not
maybe he's never
season,
really been so. Given an extended chance to see.
And sometimes people seize the opportunity.
Yes.
I think he's done that.
Yeah.
And how about Stasny with that little poke?
That
biscuit was sitting right there. He just poked that, poking at it and poking at it.
Tinder didn't know it was behind him.
That was a fun game to watch. It wasn't a ton of scoring in there, but end-to-end, both teams had really good chances. That was fun to watch.
Could that be a preview of the Western Conference Finals?
Nice.
I think we just saw a preview.
That wouldn't be bad. That'd be all for making that trip.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
If they sent you there for KMOV, they would not put you anywhere near the strip.
Couldn't concentrate on a live shot if we had to file a report. We just wouldn't have it. We would. We'd have to stay at a La Quinta 10, 15 miles away.
And the anchors would be on set, and they would throw it to you like you were there, and I'd just show like an empty,
a lot.
An empty facility. And where's Doug?
You'd be at the intersection where Pac was gunned down. Iggy just texted me, and I guess we have breaking news. Plowhawk, is Iggy near a microphone where he can join this award-winning radio presentation?
He's coming into the studio now. Give me 2 seconds. He'll pop on.
Doug, this is also related to Las Vegas, but not the team with the hideous uniforms that was here last night. Okay. Good morning, Iggy.
Morning. I was in the other studio. I wasn't smoking. Can't.
You were taking show notes? You were making show notes? That's what we were told.
Yeah, when Sea Monster isn't here, I have to do show notes.
What are the show notes?
What notes could possibly be taken from the show?
The boys are live today from Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills.
Plowsy says, now you can have a smoke break.
Plowsy says Mr. Nipples is a baller.
Right.
Cat wants the Mike Francesa show open to be his for the Cat Chat. And,
all right, go have a smoke
and what happened to these notes? Where do they go from your little tablet?
They go to the podcast, so when you bring up the podcast, you kind of know what was talked about in that segment.
No. I don't believe I've ever done that.
No, nobody did until Barrett came around. That was his doing.
So anyway, what's the breaking news, Iggy?
Well, I told Tim that, because we talked about it on the show yesterday, but Biff called me last night asking about the AVN credentials. And I said, look, I talked to him, but somebody from the station has to be present. I can't just have you and Gentle go.
Nice. So you kind of opened the door
well
for yourself.
Well done, sir. It was a nice little play.
So I said, you know, unless you want to pay for me to fly down there and take care of my hotel.
JHE approved, buddy.
And dinner and drinks. I just threw everything in there. I said, but if you can take care of that, I said, I'm sure I can get us all credentials. So he's going to work on that and see if he can take care of it. And if he does, we're ready to go.
What does that mean if he can? I mean,
well, I'll tell you this. He flies out there sometimes private.
Yeah, and he's got more money than he knows what to do with.
Oh, that would be the ball so hard
for him. I hope that happens for you, Iggy.
Yeah, my God.
Well, not for me. I mean, I think it'd be good for the show to have all these. Yeah, to have all these interviews with the.
I hope it happens.
Because then Frank could play some sound.
I hope it happens for you, Iggy, because I think you'd have a wonderful time and you deserve it.
Well,
and
you could finally meet Dillian Harper, who I know is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, well, Frank texted me after the show yesterday and said, if you go, can you get me some Lexi Bell sound? So I'm going to work on that for Frank's show.
Yep, Doug, as you know, only doing girl right now.
No, that's the Steelers running back.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see. But
the backfield finds a hole.
Right,
and then
patience.
Yeah, the plan.
I don't like when he says I got a check on, you know, he kind of does what he wants to do.
Biff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a free spirit. It doesn't seem like he's going to meet with his accountant to see if he could pay for a room.
He's got
for
a construction company, so he may not be free that week.
He's free a lot.
No, that's not. He'll be free for that. I think he's just checking maybe frequent flyer miles, stuff like that.
And when is this little presentation?
I think the end of the month.
Oh, well, you got to get going on this. Oh,
Iggy, will you buy some new pieces for your wardrobe or just go as is? Because I think you ought to gussy up for this.
Yeah, this is a fashion mecca.
Yeah, maybe stop by Kohl's or something.
Yeah, get something with a plunging neckline.
Oh, the Blues have just scored to take a 2-1 lead.
Well, it's not this morning.
So. Oh.
No, I have enough clothes.
Great drop.
Nobody.
Doug Leonard.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, this is just important because it's from the White Collar Gangster. I know Doug likes White Collar Gangster.
No. Great American.
Doug Lenardi has the Blues in the Stanley Cup on June 7th, right when the Cardinals open up a series against the Cubs. Which one will you cover? Thanks.
Tournament.
Well, we would cover both.
Yeah, but where will you be?
Well, I don't know. We haven't made that choice yet.
I'm sure Frank has already decided where KSDK will be.
I doubt it.
You could do both, Doug. You know what? And I don't care where the events happen, like Joe Buck did that when he called one game and then went to another. They'll fly you wherever.
I'm sure they would, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about us covering it. Oh, God, no.
Where the news happens, that's where the
that's where you'll
Fox
find me.
Will be, yeah. Unless it's a cameraman just holding the microphone.
Well, nowadays we can just hold our cell phone up and get some stuff. We've taken cell phone video that looks just like the video that they run around with the $30,000 camera
problems,
on the show. Yeah, we can plug a mic into it now.
So
that's where it's going.
Do you have a mic? Do you
that's
have
where
a
it's
mic
going.
To plug into your phone?
Yes.
Station provided?
Yes,
or do you go shopping
station,
yourself?
No, station provided.
Very nice.
I'm going to do that for when I'm at spring training. I'm going to do that for podcast purposes, I believe. Get a little microphone and put it in my phone.
That's a nice play.
Send it right to Seymour.
That's a nice play. That's a nice play, Jack.
You know what he does? He takes these things. He's great to work with, as you know. It's like Extra Stuff podcast. But you know what he does? He takes the junk I put out and he cleans it up and prans it and puts it on the shelf. Thank you, Seymour.
Thank you, Sea Monster. Thank you for the delicious podcast. Doug, we are in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway, the right way, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. And we are at Maggie O'Brien's. And you go, oh, Union Station is next to us. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. But now there's a new location, brother, and it's where O'Leary's used to be in Sunset Hills, Doug. And you can come on by today, happy hour from 3 to 6 and 9 to midnight, and great drink specials. And Saturday and Sundays, they have Guinness specials all day long, plus brunch and build your own Bloody Mary bar from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Sunday. And the grand opening is tomorrow with hourly giveaways, Blues tickets, Cardinal tickets, a two-hour happy hour party for 20 people at either location on a mutually agreed-upon date. The Budweiser girls will be here for the happy hour, the Guinness girls in the evening hours, corned beef and cabbage every day. They do catering, banquets and private parties are always available, carry-out and box lunches always available, the famous fried pickles, and ask about the secret menu item.
Oh.
The secret menu item.
I'm going to order some breakfast here because it looks darn good. Corned beef for breakfast? I'm going to get some of that.
It's a good call. Yeah. Justin in Columbia has decided to strike. He writes, I already feel sorry for the poor Vegas stripper who gets accosted by Biff and Iggy. Holy Christ, she'll be in psychotherapy for a decade. Justin in Columbia.
No, I don't know about that.
I don't think that. Well, I think she'll end up with a down payment on a new condo.
That's a tight read. Biff will probably have Gentle with him. He really likes that Gentle.
Yeah, they bonded, the two of them.
Yeah, they did. A lot of great relationships have started in the champagne room at Spearmint Rhino.
You think there have probably been some marriages come out of that?
Yeah, yeah, like the...
It lasted a week or two.
Is that like me or Gentle?
Yeah, like the 80-year-old multimillionaire
yeah.
that marries the adult entertainer.
Right, that's probably happened. I think Biff knows what he's doing.
Now, she sounds very intelligent, and that's probably why she likes Biff.
I hope this happens. I've been wanting to have Iggy and Larry Nickel working the red carpet at the AVNs. And if Biff can make it happen, Doug, this is what Buck Swope, I say, a pivotal moment for the show. Is that what he said? That's a moment
show
when
turned.
The show
turned.
Yeah.
Well, that also put the other shows in town on notice.
Yeah.
That we're in it to win it.
Yeah.
I feel like the show advanced at that moment.
That's what it did. You know, it advanced. I don't know what advanced. Nixie's not going out there, is he? You said Larry.
No. Well, I tried to set that up a couple years ago. I don't think he likes to fly.
Oh.
I think he saw La Bamba and it haunts him.
Well.
A big bopper went down in that too, didn't
Buddy
it?
Buddy Holly, Jack. Buddy Holly.
And the big bopper, who was not Buddy Holly.
No commercial airliner fatalities for several years now in this country.
Thank you, Mr.
Hey, and that reminds me, Plowhawk. Plowhawk, you there? Nurse?
What up?
Are you aware of the marijuana policy that may be changing?
I saw Swope post that on the fan pin, also read the article elsewhere, and it's pretty disappointing. Jeff Sessions is not a great guy, and I think if you compare heroin to weed, you're a little off there. So I have no kind word to say about Jeff Sessions.
So what could go on? California just had everything start up a couple days ago.
Colorado's had a boom because of it. Mm.
So what would happen, Plowhawk? I'm sure you're in the loop.
I think they want more federal restrictions. They want it illegal again, and they want absolute max penalties for marijuana. It wouldn't be decriminalized in certain states. I think legalizing it would still be in a state by state basis, but still, even now, you can get busted by the feds, and even when it is legal. And so now there are going to be tighter restrictions, and basically, the legalization movement would almost stop.
Trump had said as he was campaigning that he believes it should be left up to the states.
There's a lot of Trump supporters that smoke marijuana. I don't know if this is a good move for his party if he wants to get reelected, because I don't know if Jeff Sessions is the right guy for that position, if this is the route they're going.
Because you were talking the other day about legalizing all drugs, so what do you and your bud buddies say about this?
I think it's a bad decision
to try to
go after.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a good decision at all.
Do you know what the reasoning is?
Are he's in bed with Big Pharma and private prisons. I'm not saying he is or isn't. This is just kind of, you know, people talking out loud, you know. And so I'm not for sure if that's accurate or not, but it would obviously point to a lot of things that he said and done would be right in there with big pharmaceutical companies who obviously don't want marijuana legal, and private prisons who want to keep building private prisons and make more money. They would eliminate that if legalization of marijuana, you take petty crimes out of there. You take a lot of prisoners back on the streets, and then they don't want that either. So
Have you read any polling on this, Doug? Because it seems to me most people that I know have no issues with the legalization of marijuana and do believe that maybe the prisons are a little too crowded with folks that have minor violations.
Right. I don't think that Jeff Sessions is in bed with big prison and big pharma. I think it's a moral opinion.
You can't possibly tell me, Doug, that any normal person, and any very well-educated, he's in a position he's in, can compare marijuana to heroin. If you do not have an agenda, you are an idiot. I mean, you cannot possibly have that viewpoint. You can't. No normal person without a hidden agenda has that viewpoint. There's just no way. I'm sorry. I cannot defend you on that at all. I can't. It's impossible.
I didn't say it was. Is that what he's saying? He's saying
He has said it multiple times, comparing heroin and marijuana. If you are not in big pharma or in bed with private prison, I don't know what same person says that. It doesn't make sense.
You think he's going to get money if he does this?
I think he already is. In my opinion, he already is. And so he wants to keep it that way. This is, again, my opinion.
Well,
can we just combine them? Can we call them Big Pharma Prison?
I would love that. They're all hand in hand anyways.
I think he has a moral opinion that it's wrong, that it's drug use, and people shouldn't do it. I'm not sure it goes beyond that.
How old is
Jeff Sessions? Can't believe that.
I mean, he's already got a boatload of money. Anyone who's been a representative for a long time as a boatload of money, does he really need?
There are some people who just think it's wrong to do that. They just it was illegal
it just
everywhere
seems,
up until
it just seems
you can
totally,
say,
totally out of step with the way regular folks feel about
you can
it.
View it wrong, and I'm fine with that. People can have, but you cannot compare a drug that is just wiped the nation and it killed and basically affected millions of people and compare it to marijuana. I just don't see it, and no normal person in that position would say that without a hidden agenda. That's just me. I just can't see it. That's all.
Well, I don't. It could be. Yeah, you could be absolutely right. I think there are some people, though, that think that it's wrong just because it's wrong and that they're not necessarily having a financial stake in it. I think there are people who think that marijuana is wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. It makes people high, therefore it's wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. I don't think that's an impossible position for somebody to have.
But the studies out there, I mean, there's so many by reputable medical physicians that, you know, can link, you know, CBD oil, medical marijuana to maybe take away 10 to 15 prescription medications that people are taking. That's a direct hit to big pharma. And those are, I mean, that it just goes hand in hand, Doug. There's no way somebody can say, well, I'm not a big fan of marijuana, and guess what? It's the same as heroin. No one in that position, maybe somebody that's working at a 7-Eleven may have that view, but nobody that's in Jeff Sessions' position can honestly say that with a straight face and not have anybody paying him under the table. There's just no way. I'll repeat it again. There's no possible way. There isn't. I mean, you can't have that.
I don't know. Everybody.
Who has that?
Everybody in a position of power thought it should be illegal up until the last 2 or 3 years. Everybody did. It's only recently that the positions have relaxed on that and that they've allowed Colorado among, I think there's another state or two that where it's illegal.
But you don't think it's
everybody
wrong,
everybody thought it was illegal up until now.
But you're not saying that it's wrong. You're saying you're not so sure Sessions is making money. from
That's
big
right.
pharma prison.
Yeah, I would. Think they should leave it just the way it is. I think it should be a state's decision. I think it should be legalized. If
which
you want
is,
to do
which
it, do
is
it.
What Trump had said, you know, as a guy
right.
campaigning.
I'm stunned that he's made this decision to try to take it away from the state. I don't think it's the right decision to make, but I don't necessarily think you can take it to the next level and say he's got a monetary stake in it.
So there you go, Plowsy. There's a wide swath of agreement for you and Doug.
And that's fine. I don't want to get into a big debate either. I saw that article and was blown away by it. That's all.
Well, is there any evidence that he has ties to big pharma and big prison?
No, you asked why he would do that. And I said, in my opinion, I think there is something going on under the table. And that's the only way to explain it. But there's no proof of that. But that's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to answer your question, Doug. I still love you.
Yeah.
From P-Hump, who is a wise gentleman, he says, Plowboy gets it. I don't know if P-Hump would like to elaborate on what which part he thinks the Plowboy gets. I'm just confused as to why this would happen now and what the reasoning is.
What
now,
changed?
Yesterday he said that he equates, essentially, marijuana to heroin. So with the opioid epidemic, I don't know if that's the justification for it. It just seems like it's a battle that no one was really interested in going back to fight. But I was surprised to see that. Now, I don't smoke marijuana. I have smoked a lot of it back in the 90s. But I have no problem with it. So I was just curious as to what led to that. And I was certainly curious, knowing how passionate the Plowhawk is about it, what his opinion was.
It should just be state by state, and it just voted in if the state wants it. I mean, the federal regulation is a little bit overboard, and I think the money that can be made should outweigh the few percentage of people that think it's a gateway drug. I think there obviously should be some restrictions similar to alcohol, but to say it's, you know, a class X felony up there with heroin and things like that, to me, is way over the top, especially in 2018. I hate to use that phrase in 2018, but, I mean, we should be smarter than this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it should be a felony either. We've got too many people in the prisons now. It shouldn't be something that puts you in prison. It shouldn't be. And I think what Jeff Sessions is doing right now is wrong. And I don't understand why they would do it now. My only point is I'm not sure you can say he's making money out of this decision.
Here's what I don't understand.
I'm not sure you can take
it
to that level.
If I may just veer off course. Here's what I don't understand. You know, we've talked about the lottery and the money raised from casinos that goes to the kids directly to the
right,
school.
Those
right.
Commercials are so inspiring and almost like a bright, shiny object.
And we hear how the pot industry is going to raise funds that are going to take some of the burden off states, you know, that are having monetary issues. And how come you always read about these schools in the cities where the boiler broke down and the kids are having to go to school in the cold or they can't afford textbooks? You would think that people playing the lottery, that's a lot of cash that mm-hmm. should go to help these things, and yet you still read this. It seems like the same amount of problems, you know, from week to week about school districts that have nothing around the country. And I thought all these wonderful things that people change their view about, like gambling and perhaps marijuana, would ease some of those problems. It doesn't seem to be. How come the money doesn't really get from A to B? That's really a as I consider the marijuana thing, and you know, because the gambling thing was a similar issue where most people thought of it as a harmless vice. The hardliners didn't. Okay, we'll make it legal. We'll help the schools. And are the schools being helped? I don't know.
Money went to other public projects. I think the money, instead of going to schools as it was built originally, goes to pay police salaries and for highways and other public things. I'm not sure that money's being stolen by anybody.
Maybe
I think it goes It goes other places rather than the schools.
Guys, I work in law enforcement. I believe marijuana should be legalized and taxed. I know older cops who believe the same, however, as Jeff Sessions. There is a generational aspect to this that the Plowboy is not taking into account. That comes from the three.
And I completely agree with that.
You didn't agree with me when I said he could just think that it's not a good thing to do
I argue that you can have a viewpoint that you're not a fan of marijuana and you don't like it, but very rarely, I'm sure nobody in the text line would say that marijuana is similar to heroin. That was my argument. I'm saying there are a lot of people in his in that generation who aren't big fans of weed, and I completely get that, and that's your opinion. But no one, I would like to see the percentage of people who don't like weed think it's the same as heroin. I would find that to be a very low percentage. I'm saying that viewpoint, not him disliking weed. People dislike weed all the time. People in my age group, some don't like weed. That's fine. But you cannot compare it to heroin, and you can't slow down the process just because that's your belief. That's just not accurate. The facts just don't line up with it.
I wouldn't think many people would compare it to heroin. I don't. I'm not sure.
From the Loomster, marijuana is similar to heroin.
Nice.
Good laugh.
Someone from the text.
See, I think it's that laugh that make people not want marijuana legalized.
Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. That's the text inbox. It's also the appliance discounter phone lines. And I think it's a press conference Friday where people can call in.
We've had a few of those this week and haven't really panned out.
Or they can come in and order breakfast here.
Yeah, we're at Maggie O'Brien's, and you're going, oh, downtown. No, no, no. There's a new one, brother. It's in Sunset Hills, and we have the TMA Listener Challenge. The first person to come in and order breakfast before 10 a.m. at the new Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills and guess our show-related phrase wins four tickets to Missouri versus Florida tomorrow. It's unbelievable. Like Tiger Woods. How about that? Come on in, win tickets to Missouri and Florida tomorrow. What?
And meet Tiger Woods?
That's right. Eldrick will be here.
Boy, that's nice.
Send your emails in to the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. I was asking the cat about this plowhawk I'm about to call for sound, the Build the Wit sound. Yesterday, I was down at Busch Stadium and interviewed Bill DeWitt III for my podcast. Dave Peacock did that interview 2 days ago, and that will air on Monday. Bill DeWitt will air the following Monday. Doug, I got that as the 15th.
All right.
So most of it is bigger picture discussion. We talked for about an hour and 10 minutes, but I did ask with regard to where the Cardinals are at this moment. Are they done, or are they going to be making another move? Here is the exchange.
I think that Mo feels like if we go to opening day with this team, we're fine. We have a really good shot at a playoff spot. He also feels that if we did that, we would have an opportunity to make a move in sort of mid-year if we're in that trajectory. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pretty good approach when you can enter the season with the ability to make a move with a team that you feel is capable of being a postseason team already. Having said that, there's still some great names out there. And if the price is right, you know, we'll probably be involved in either players or money or some combination of the two.
Now, I was obviously the one conducting the interview, and I tweeted out via my Twitter account and then posted on the fan page the exchange. And I have to tell you, whereas, for example, 5 minutes ago when we had the marijuana discussion, I knew what would happen in the text inbox, and it played out kind of ABC poker, although I realized the audience doesn't see what's in the text inbox. And by that I mean those who are younger and usually text in certain things, or were pro marijuana, pro plowhawk. Those usually text in Trump things, were going after the plowhawk. It was kind of, you know, standard stuff. You know that goes on in 2018. It's been going on for a while, and you just kind of see it and go, whatever, you know, par for the course. I have to tell you, I couldn't be more surprised by the reaction on Twitter to that soundbite from Bill DeWitt. I must be absolutely oblivious to a portion of the Cardinal fan base that is so damn angry right now. And the root of their anger is this belief that the organization is only interested in profiting and not winning. It's just, I had no idea. And again, I'm doing exactly what I mock CNN and Fox News for doing, reading tweets, but just to give people an example of what I'm talking about. And this is a bunch of them, so I'll just read them. OMG, the same old song and dance. Shocking. Translate, we feel this team is good enough to keep people interested in buying tickets. If at some point mid-year the ticket sales are lagging, we are then positioned to add players to renew people's interest in purchasing more tickets. This is exactly the problem. They are playing for second place, all while the new TV contract, $$$$, kicks in. If they cared as much about the team as they do about Ballpark Village, oh, never mind. And there's a bunch of them, as you guys see as I scroll down here. The point being, I had no – like, I knew there was angst from some fans, and I talked about that with John Mozeliak when I interviewed him, and I actually asked Bill DeWitt III, and you'll hear it, about people calling him and his family cheap. But I had no idea that that would get that reaction. So interestingly enough, and do with this what you want, and I don't know if you want to add a theory to it, but on the fan page, people are just like, oh, you know, that'll be a good interview. I'm anxious to hear. And a couple people like, it's good to hear that they're in that position, that they think about things that, yeah, if there's a good deal to be made, they'll make it, but otherwise they'll pass and not get caught up in making bad deals. But on my personal fan, my personal Facebook account, and then Twitter, that's where the vitriol came from. And I don't know what that says, but I just know that's what wound up happening. So you guys have heard what Bill DeWitt had to say in the interview. You just heard the clip, and then also the context of the response. Your thoughts?
I think Mr. DeWitt was trying to kind of recap where John Mozeliak was.
That was Bill DeWitt III for the record.
Yeah, stepping on toes, right? I mean, you're trying to speak for the former general managers, now the president of baseball operations. So you're not going to say, no, there's another move to be made. They're working on it right now. I took it as trying not to say too much and not putting Mo in a bad position if something doesn't work out. I understand fans' frustration because the Cardinals have allegedly been on everything, if you read the trade rumors. And so far it's just Ozuna, Michaelis, and a guy for the bullpen. You know, who should be, I think, a valuable piece. But they want someone else, too. But to call them cheap when they were in on Stanton with the biggest contract in baseball, they were trying to get that done, and Stanton turned them down. So I don't think – I understand the frustration. Fans want more. The fans don't want them to say, oh, we want to be a playoff team. I think fans want to hear, no, we're going after the Cubs. We're closing that gap. And to this point, a lot of fans feel they haven't done enough.
Now, for the record, I personally don't agree with it, but the counter to the Stanton thing that you just stated, which I happen to agree with, is, well, it didn't happen, and they're always in second place. And that's the – and I'm just like – and the thing I cite – and I continue to cite because it actually did happen, is that the prize free agent, which tells you a lot about the free agent class of last year, was Dexter Fowler. And they went out and got him. And I would say overpaid for him. And I think they privately would say overpaid for him in order to get him here.
And along overpaid with, for Brett Cecil.
And along with, that's exactly where I was going, Brett Cecil. So people are welcome, of course, to the opinion. I just am so surprised that that was the overwhelming response. Again, it's on Twitter. But just because Twitter's a septic tank of people, you know, angry people, you know, attacking with the trolling crap, still, that's not the kind of response I usually get on most of the stuff that I post because, like I said, most of the stuff is more kind of the fan page mentality where there's, you know, if you're following the show, it's a little different program. That surprised me. And also to see it on my personal account. And people are, I'm not complaining about the opinion. I'm observing how surprised I was to see how widespread the opinion was. This wasn't like two guys. This was a bunch of people. And it's certainly not what I took it as. Here's my official assessment of what Bill DeWitt III had to say. Number one, anybody who is savvy in business keeps their cards close to the vest, or they intentionally throw out misdirections. DeWitt's play and the Cardinals play their cards as close to the vest as any organization. So he's hedging with a public statement, which is exactly what I would expect them to do. I have to ask the question. I don't expect him to say, you know what, no, we're done, we think we're good.
Or we're in on a guy and we're really close to him.
Or we're pretty close to Josh Donaldson. Oh, is that tampering?
Or we're absolutely desperate. We don't like our team. So, we're desperate to make some more moves.
So there is that. But then secondarily, he said that they aren't done. He didn't say that they were done. And he's and his whole point was that if they don't do something, that they're in a position to do something at the deadline. Now, I know fans will say, but that's what they always say. Marcell Ozuna is a substantial addition. I don't understand how that, like, well, that's only Ozuna. That's a huge addition. And again, and I know what also will happen, it's like I try to counter the argument before they come in. If the Cat were saying this, be like, oh, rights holder. I have, if the Cardinals never talk to me again, it will not affect a dollar I make. I don't care. I didn't even go to Busch Stadium in 2017. It has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I'm just telling you, the audience, what I honestly think. So the thing about, oh, rights holders or soft media in St. Louis or whatever, you know, that's just, it's just respectfully, that's just not what's going on here. I'm giving you an honest assessment, and I'm fascinated, and I just really disagree with the idea that the Cardinals are cheap. And I think I really think it's misguided and does a disservice to a discussion on what the Cardinals should do when you throw that out, because the evidence would prove one wrong.
And plus, I mean, they have gone after the big ticket guys. You know, you talk about Fowler last year, but they did make a run at trying to keep Pools, even though that's not necessarily what Mazalak and the other guys wanted. Bill DeWitt said he's a legacy guy. They've gone after Price. They made a big run at Stanton. Could it be that they're not just willing to throw out money at guys who are, you know, a decent free agent for that year? They are going to pick and choose and get what they really believe is a difference maker of a player if they're going to pay that kind of money. Do you want them? Because, okay, so they didn't get Stanton, so just throw up money at Hosmer. I mean, I think that is a short-sighted view.
And, you know, when you hear the interview, and it is scheduled, and I say scheduled just on the off chance we'd have another interview that we deem to be urgent, so to speak, to get up. So Dave Peacock will be what airs on Monday, and we have some sound from that I want to play too. But this will be a week from Monday. Also, one of the parts of the discussion is the Cardinal philosophy that I personally think has been one of the greatest accomplishments of their ownership group, which is every year there has been interest in Cardinal baseball since they have, and I mean interest, well, of course interest. I'm talking about major interest in Cardinal baseball since they took over. So you go back to 96, they're a win away from the World Series, 97, 98, 99, the McGuire show, and then 2000 on, they've either been in the playoffs or been competitive in the playoffs or won two World Series or two additional pennants. Four straight NLCSs, and then an NLDS appearance with a 100-win team. And so what Bill DeWitt was saying in the interview, which was not played, but to give you further context, is what the Cardinal organization has decided to do, as opposed to what you've seen recently with, as an example, with the 2016 World Champion Cubs and the 2017 World Champion Astros, is they attempt to be competitive every year, as opposed to this newfound strategy of tanking, accumulating draft picks, and then going all in with a short window, and then repeating the cycle of then having to rebuild after having a few years of not being competitive. And that's not what they've done. And I would have to give them the benefit of the doubt based on a nearly two-decade track record. So I understand there being angst. I think there's a lot of angst regarding the manager, but that then is compounded into observing things that just, again, factually are just inaccurate. And while Marcell Ozuna isn't necessarily a household name like a Giancarlo Stanton or a Manny Machado or an, you know, former American League MVP and Josh Donaldson, that's a hell of a baseball player the Cardinals just acquired and upgraded in the outfield. And that to like discount that as well, only Ozuna, that's odd. Finally, this, I would be stunned if the Cardinals don't have what I would consider to be a major acquisition between now and the time they arrive in Jupiter, Florida. And by major, I would include a closer in there. Now, if it's Addison Reed, I'm sure some people go, Addison Reed? Column A, I don't know if some people would consider that. I would consider that a major acquisition because you're acquiring a closer. And so from that standpoint, that was the goal at the start of the offseason. I sat down with John Mozeliak. He said 1A, closer and bullpen, and then 1B, an impact bat. That's what they said the plan was. I believe that's what they're going to do.
I think they're going to get a closer, but they've also already gotten Gregerson, who didn't have a great year last year, but has got a fine resume as a guy late inning. He has closing experience as well, but I'm with you. I think they're definitely going to make another move, and I think it will involve the bullpen and possibly another bat, too. Then maybe they're still going to make a couple of moves. But no one's going to say that right now. No one's going to say, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do that, because you box yourself in. It doesn't benefit your team to say that at this point.
People have gotten spoiled around here. If we just barely missed the playoffs, it's because they were cheap and didn't go out and get somebody else. If they make the playoffs, then it was the manager's fault, or they didn't make another bigger move at the trade deadline to push them over the top. We're just spoiled as a fan base. And the truth is, the current Cardinal ownership group is the best funded and most well-run and most successful ownership group in the history of St. Louis sports. There's nobody even close to what the DeWitts have done. It's not even close. They're even rebuilding parts of downtown. What more do you want from them? And you expect them to have a $300 million payroll to get every player that's ever out there? That's just not going to happen. And what they've done so far is pretty darned amazing.
And other guys in front offices around baseball will tell you the thing that sets the Cardinals apart is they've been disciplined. You know, they're not afraid to spend money, but they're not going to spend it everywhere. They're not going to be in on every guy who, you know, is associated with a big contract, and to a large extent, they've been good with that. They've been careful.
I feel like their worst offseason was last year, as a matter of fact, with the Fowler and Cecil plays. And Fowler I didn't like in advance. Cecil now just looks rough as it is. But you know, anybody can Monday morning quarterback. It, you know, takes some intuitive judgment to call a shot before it fails. Or before it succeeds. But those were overspends, and that's where the market took them when the Nationals and White Sox did the deal they did with Adam Eaton. But overall, for two decades, that's what it has been. It has been disciplined.
Now, I understand the other side to that, and I think that's where the angst is on the fan base, is that the Cubs look like they're in a different realm, and have the Cardinals done enough to close the gap and be in that same conversation with the Cubs? On paper right now, probably not. Obviously, the games are not played on paper, but I could see fans frustrated with, oh, I heard they're in on this, you know, make moves, get to that same level as the Cubs. To me, that the Cubs just seem still set up, even though they're going to have problems with their rotation. There's still that view that the Cubs are a quantum leap ahead of the Cardinals.
Well, there's been so little movement this offseason in terms of trading and free agency. There's probably fan bases all over the country saying the same thing.
I mean,
why aren't we doing anything?
If you think about it, it'll be a guessing game, Doug. I know you love guessing games. Which fan base do you think right now has the most angst? Consider the market and consider what's been going on this offseason and consider what they have or have not done. I feel like it's obvious. The cat, you were nodding, so I feel like you know who I'm guessing. Or not guessing, who I'm saying and what you...
I mean, out of all major league teams, which fan base is most upset by what their team... Miami?
Well, I guess that's fair.
How about the Royals?
But at the same time, I just don't think people care down there. No, it's the Boston Red Sox. It's a lock. When you consider what the Yankees have done, they haven't done anything yet.
And
as intense as they care about the Red Sox in Boston versus, for example, the Marlins in Miami, although I would agree with you, that's an absolute debacle. I just don't think many people care, which is one of the core issues. But that's the point, is overall a lot of baseball players who would be considered the top free agents for this class haven't moved yet. And so I think a lot of teams will be making moves between now and the end of January, which is just an outlier for the way free agency has been conducted for decades. This is a very strange season, as we discussed.
If you're the Red Sox, so what move counters Stanton? I mean, you have to be very careful that you don't that's one of the things you can't do, is overreact and go all in on a guy with a big contract who's not really the guy that you believe will put you in a much, much better position. So you have to fight that urge to just throw money at somewhere. And for the Royals, though, you know, you're talking about Moustakas going, who had a great year last year. You're talking about the guys that put their run together possibly going away, even though they've made a run at keeping Hosmer.
Yeah, apparently. With the Royals, I think there's an understanding in Kansas City that was it in 2017. That's why I'm surprised that they're in on Hosmer, but Hosmer's at a different point in his career than some of the other
guys. They're going to backload the contract.
So there's an understanding. In Boston, they're going, wow, we just got Chris Sale. Oh, crap, now we have a couple contracts not working out. We can't hit, and the Yankees just got Stanton, and we haven't done anything yet? What in the hell? And it's Boston.
Don't you think Martinez is going to be there?
I don't know why it hasn't happened. I don't know
it
either.
It seems like that's
too much money. Yeah. One agent, Scott Boris, has got too much power.
Yeah, that would add to the
I just can't imagine a team outbidding Boston for that guy if they really want him.
All right, we got to take a break. We are at Maggie O'Brien's, the new Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills. And once again, the first person to order breakfast before 10 a.m. and guess our secret show-related phrase wins 4 tickets to Missouri and Florida tomorrow. Come on by Maggie O'Brien's, the new location in Sunset Hills. Used to be O'Leary's, now it's Maggie O'Brien's. The grand opening tomorrow. The soft opening with 590 The Fan broadcasting all day long today. Come on by. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS.